God just laid it on my heart just to save Castle High School, to see that whole public high school, to see Jesus in their hearts.
It's evident that prayer and prayer evangelism has changed the climate of Brooklyn to such a degree that it's become a great place to do business.
We are beginning to change the spiritual climate in this area. We really believe that. We had a number of people come in off the street on a Sunday experiencing God's presence.
Welcome to the School of Transformation, the School of Tyrannos, session number 6. Today is a very exciting session because it talks about transformation in the family. In fact, families are so important that the Bible begins with a wedding ceremony officiated by God, and it closes with another wedding ceremony officiated by God. I'll tell you, we are in for a treat. Right, Chuck?
We are. This is week 6, and we appreciate so much all the posts and testimonies and all the things that are happening in you through personal transformation, now family transformation. We're seeing this is our last session on family transformation.
The theme today is transformation in the family in the context of prayer evangelism. And you may wonder, okay, why do I have to read about changing the spiritual climate all over the city if this is about families? Because transformation begins in the family. What you can see there is the Ephesians grid. You see, it's a bird's view of the book of Ephesians, but in chapter 2, Paul tells us you must be reconciled ethnically. In chapter 3, denominations has to be reconciled. I'll tell you, that's a tall order. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, ministers, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, they must be reconciled. But chapter 5 is the key. Husband and wives must walk together. And then out of that comes parents and children, and eventually employers and managers. And then only after we have taken care of all those gaps, we are in a position to engage the forces of evil in the marketplace. But look at the PowerPoint there. What do you see at the very center? Chapter 5, okay? Husbands and wife. That is the key. In fact, Jesus did not introduce the church until Peter recognized him as the Son of the living God. And when Jesus says, upon this rock, and the rock there is, yes, the deity of Christ, him being the Messiah, but him being a son that came to bring life so that God will have a family. So in that context, you say, well, Ed, I have a few challenges at home. I remember once I was teaching that our wife is the personal gift that God gives us. You know, all the other gifts we get to share with other people. But our wives or our husband, that was tailor-made. So I'm building on it. And then this very, he didn't look very happy guy, you know, interrupted me and says, Pastor Ed, are you saying that my wife is God's gift to me? I said, that's exactly what I'm saying. Oh, may God deliver me from what the devil may have in store. Because if my wife is God's gift, I cannot even think how terrible it will be. Well, you see, he missed it altogether. But what you see on the screen there, and I want to empathize with those that may be having a bumpy day in your marriage. Jesus felt that way. Not so much about marriage, but about the people that he was in relationship with. You know, in Luke chapter 9, he told his apostles, oh, perverted and unbelieving generation, how much longer must I be with you? That hurts. And then he twisted a little bit and put up with you. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure we all have, right? And sometimes in the context of marriage. That was chapter 9. But now look at chapter 10. This is the only verse in the scripture that tells us that Jesus rejoiced. Not only he rejoiced greatly. And he didn't just rejoice himself in the spirit. I mean, that is like a cascade of joy. What a change. What was the issue there? The issue there was that the disciples, okay, have come back with joy because sinners, because demons were becoming subject to him. So then, the problem is that the devil is blinding the eyes of the people to the light of the gospel. But that doesn't apply only in the marketplace, folks. That applies in the family. You see, the devil blinds our eyes so that we will not see the glory of the gospel of Christ in our lives, in our home, in our spouses. And that is spelled out right there on the screen in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. But now look what God told Paul. He says, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that when you open their eyes, they will turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to the power of God. And I'll tell you, to do it all over the city, we have to do it first in our own heart. And then we need to do it in our own marriage and with our kids. So get ready, because this is what this session is all about. It's about opening the eyes so that the light of the gospel will shine and we will see what you see in the screen right now. You see that in Luke chapter 10, all the way up, in the Gospel of Luke, all the way up to chapter 10, the climate was very hostile. I mean, it was so bad that Jesus said, how much longer? But in chapter 10, as we showed, it changed. What was the key there? The turning point was Luke chapter 10. That's when the 70 says, hey, demons are subject to us. Jesus said, yep, you suck the quarterback. The wide receiver have no place to go. I was watching Satan fall down from heaven. So this is the principle that we want to highlight. We can bring down the powers of evil that are plotting against our marriage. Later on, Chuck will be quoting Jack Serra, who is a member of our team and has a superb teaching on this. But basically, I'm going to paraphrase him. He's saying what you can do outside is determined by how well you do inside your home. Isn't that powerful, folks? Yeah. So the keys to changing the climate, not only all over the city, but in our home. Number one, the gospel of the kingdom. It says in Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since then, there is a change. The gospel of the kingdom is being preached. And what is the result? Everyone is trying to force their way in. So lesson number one, you want to change the climate in your marriage? Stop preaching the law and the prophets. Stop telling, this is what you did wrong. And let me tell you what you should never did, not even in your wildest dream. Don't read to your spouse a passage that is meant for him or for her. When a husband gets the Bible and says, look what God says. Okay, you should honor me. Please, respectfully, shut up and sit down. Okay, because that passage was not written for husbands to read to their wives. It was written to their wives to deal with God. And I'll tell you, God is much more powerful than you. Let God handle your wife or your husband. Okay? Yes. So we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. What is good news? I'll tell you, if everything else fails, take your wife shopping. If you cannot take her shopping, give her money to go shopping. I'm just breaking a little bit of the ice because when we talk about this, you know, people begin to say, oh, you don't understand. Well, I do, more than what you realize. And I'll tell you, when we begin to speak the gospel of the kingdom to each other, we say, you look wonderful today. what a lovely day, you know. And I'll tell you, the sweetest word we can say to our wife is, you are right, honey. Because they are right all the time. Second key is deployment to the right location. This has to do more with the macro, and Benji and Jill and Chuck will be sharing testimony. But so often, you know, when we say, I don't have enough manpower to change the climate over my city. But Jesus didn't have it either. He had 12 apostles that he wanted to red car and send them to the locker room. But he found 70 and he told them, you know, you go to every city and every place where I will be coming. So do you want the Lord to come into your home? You go there in the name of the Lord. You want the Lord to come into your bedroom? You go there in the name of the Lord. You want the Lord to come into your kitchen? Dedicate your kitchen to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm coming here in your name. And what are you going to do when you come there? Well, number three, blessed, don't blast. That's exactly what they did. Jesus gave them four steps. They are all in this book, Prayer Evangelism. Whatever house you enter, remember, you are a lamb, they are wolf. Somebody would say, amen, brother, to that. My wife is a wolf. Well, she may think you are a wolf, okay? One of you have to be a lamb. Because in God's poker game, a hand of blessings beats a hand of curses. In God's poker game, okay, the lamb of God beats the roaring lion out there. So number one, we bless. Yes. That is important because we change our heart, right? We cannot bless unless we say, Lord, change my heart.
That's right.
Number two, we fellowship. And this applies to your wife, to your husband. Do you make time to be together? I know it's difficult. I mean, with four kids, like Ruth and I had, a deadly disease, not enough resources, it's tough. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, this is like football or soccer. Watch the goal line. Okay, and the goal line is that spouse that God gave you. So drop whatever you need to drop and have time together. If nothing else, do what I do. Fix her breakfast every day. Bring her to bed. Just cut the flower. Tell her, you look beautiful, honey. Okay, fellowship. I'll tell you. You don't need a 10-week Bible study on how to fellowship. We already do that. So once you bless, your heart changes. Now life comes out of you. Now you fellowship. I'll tell you, spouses, whether male or female, are like flowers. If you talk gently to them, they bloom and they blossom. And number three, minister to their felt needs. And sometimes that a felt need can be very irritating, but very simple. It's a leaky faucet that your wife has asked you for 11 years in a row, and you promise you will do it mañana, and you don't do it. So come back earlier from work and fix it. Okay? Take her shopping. I know most men don't like to go shopping, but wives love it. I'll tell you, I map out the stores that offer at least free internet and a nice chair for husbands. And I'll tell you, we gather there like POWs, you know? I mean, sharing seed rations with each other. But our wives are all over the place, okay? If her need is to have a break, have a break. Go to our website and get that edification. It's a two-minute video that Ted has produced. Everybody needs four honeymoons with the same wife. You know, you need the one that you already have. I hope it was good. Then you need one before when the kids begin high school, because that's when your spouse gets in touch with her youth that is no longer that youthful. And you really have to minister to her. Then you need the honeymoon before the kids leave home. And the number four, don't miss it, because if you miss it, you are toast before she becomes a grandmother. You really need to make her fall back in love with you, because you cannot compete with the grandkids. Okay, so you minister to their felt needs, okay? You make her feel beautiful and nice. And same thing for you ladies, okay? And you can read my book, Women Got Secret Weapon. There are a few pointers there. And then finally, you proclaim, hey, the kingdom of God has come to my home. Why? Because what was wrong was made right. Now we have peace, and now we can have joy. Isn't that powerful? And I'll tell you what, when you get it right in the home, it spills to the block, to the neighborhood, and to the city. And to tell us about that is no one other than Dave Thompson. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Ed.
It's so good to be with you.
And it's great to be here.
I need to tell you about this guy. I'll tell you, nothing of what I wrote about here would have happened without Dave and Sue Thompson and their wonderful four children. That they went to Argentina totally ambushed by God, and they landed in Resistencia, and God used them to prime the pump to change a city and to change a nation. But Dave, you have a story from another city. Go ahead.
Well, Ed, thank you so much. And it's such a joy to be here and an honor to be with you. After we left Resistencia with those principles gathered in our hip pockets, the Lord led us to a city called Azul, Blue City. It's right in the middle of the province of Buenos Aires in Argentina. And in that city, the pastors had come together to pray for their city. And they began to teach their families inside the church about how to impact the world outside. So a family was praying around a block that they had adopted, a city block. It just happened that a man named Coco lived on that block. Coco was not an ordinary individual. He was actually a warlock, disguised as a curandero, a medicine man, which means that people would come to his house with sickness, with poverty, with all kinds of calamities in their life, and look to him to provide them some kind of a quick solution, because he was cheaper than a medical doctor and cheaper than a lawyer. The only problem was he was using the power of the evil one to exercise his cures. But this family began to walk around the block. And the more they walked around the block, they said, the shorter the lines got in front of Coco's house. One day, Pastor Martinez came up to me and he said, David, we think that Coco's going to end up in church pretty soon. And when he does, he's going to receive the Lord. Well, I just happened to be in town the night that Coco showed up in church. And Pastor Martinez said, he's here. He's going to come forward. You get to lead him to the Lord. After the message, Coco came forward. I got to lead him to the Lord. And it was a tremendous climate change in his own life first. He said to me, what do I do now that I'm a Christian? I said, Coco, read the Bible, pray, and then tell your family what great things God has done for you. And do you know that in the next 2 years, he led 35 members of his intimate family to the Lord, and people who showed up at his door thinking they were going to get the prior fix, he said to them, hey, come with me. I'm going to take you somewhere where you'll really get healed. And it was a tremendous climate change in the family's life and in their neighborhood.
And Dave, you were there.
And we were there.
You were there. You were able to impart the principles to the pastors, and now the pastors to the families, right? Now, can you imagine, we are walking a block where a major warlock is situated. I'll tell you, if you are not one with your wife, if you are not walking with your kids, you are toast. That's why that family got it right.
The family got it right. When they got it right, then their sphere of influence began to feel the impact of that authority.
And I like what you said, Dave, what you told Coco. You know, your sphere of influence is there. I mean, you were working for the other team, but use those skills for the new team. How many people did he lead or brought to the Lord?
Well, he brought 35 members of his own family to the Lord. We don't know how many others he brought. All I know is Pastor Martinez came to me a couple of years later and said, I've had to remodel the inside of my church building because of all the people that Coco is bringing to our congregation.
Now, Dave, what would you say by way of an impartation to the people that are watching you right now, speak to them.
I would say to you that what you have heard in this lesson today about changing the spiritual climate is possible, and you can do it. The Lord looked to those 70 because they were following him. Keep your eye on Jesus, listen to what he says, do what he says, and in the process you will experience his power flowing through you and bringing the kingdom of God to the people in your sphere of influence, in fact, to your whole city. So receive now from the Lord Jesus, from his Spirit, that power and that authority. Believe it, and even if you can't believe it, obey it, and afterwards you will believe.
Before we go to the testimonies, bear with me for a kingdom commercial. Yes, because we have to redeem the commercials. We made the decision here at Harvest Evangelism ITN to make TESOT, the School of Transformation, totally free. Anybody can access it, anybody can benefit, and we do that because we receive by grace and we pass it on by grace to others. But that command to receive and give away by grace also applies to those that receive by grace. And you know, salvation is free, but the ministry costs money. Actually, to put the School of Tyrannos, as we used to call it, or the School of Transformation, is upwards of $100,000. It's worth the investment. And that's why I'm coming to you to give you fair warning that at the end of the program, we will give you an opportunity to make a one-time investment or an ongoing investment. But now we go to the testimony.
Well, I know that many of you are beginning to experience that same kind of thing, those small beginnings, as Dave talked about, how it happened in the family and then in the city. You're beginning that. Grover Brown from Cincinnati, Ohio, is one of our TESOT participants, and he heard Ed speak on prayer evangelism a number of years ago and just recently decided to come to the School of Tyrannus and shares this testimony that he was practicing the principles of prayer evangelism. He began prayer walking his neighborhood and immediately saw a change in the spiritual climate, in that the person that was there on the street came up to him. And that's what you'll find is when you change the climate, people open up to you. They come out from their hiding and they come to the light. That's what they're looking at. And Grover experienced that. And he said, this man just came up, what are you doing? And Grover said, I am praying for our block and our city. And the man said, well, I guess that's a good idea. And they continued talking. And then it led to understanding a need. The man began to share with a little limp he had. He has arthritis in his knees. And so Grover said, well, if you'd like, I'll pray for that. And the man said, well, go for it. And Grover prayed, and Grover testifies that the Lord healed him. Wow. Immediately. The pain went away, and the man comes into the kingdom of God. Isn't that powerful? That's where it begins. It all flows from personal transformation into the family and then right out into the neighborhood. That's awesome. Jill, what about some transformation news?
Well, I have news for you from Bray in Ireland. This is a city that is not new to transformation, in that last year, 44% of the crime came down in the city in comparison to 3% nationally. Well, the good news today is that the favor and open doors that believers have been having with the police in Bray is continuing to open up. Our associate, Clifford Sullivan, who has built a strong relationship with the detective inspector, has been finding out, as he's been speaking peace and blessing this detective, more of the true felt needs of the city. And one of these felt needs that the detective has shared is that they have been, as a police force, trying to build and get more involved with the families of the more difficult families linked to crime in this city. And so in response to that, there has been a transformational family. Graham and Jill Horn, with their family and their wonderful children, have decided to meet this felt need. And so instead of giving, using their resources to give gifts to each other for Christmas, they decided that they would use that money to buy hampers for the police to give to these families, which is incredible because it meets the felt need of the police as well as these families who would never receive a gift like this, let alone from the police. They are, instead of bringing in arrest, they are bringing peace. These police are actually called the Gardaí in Ireland, which means guardians of the peace. And I really believe this is significant because they are truly, truly bringing peace to this city.
And now let's hear from Benji with some news from the family track.
Parents, what you do as husband and wife and mother and father is so powerful. And I had talked previously about the power of what we do in modeling for our kids. And I can testify that we have seen that in our own lives with our own children, that they live out these principles and they get it faster, quicker, and go farther than what we can even do on our own. So I just want to continue to encourage you to walk out these principles and to practice them. Recently, our daughter came home from school and she shared a story of how she was practicing prayer evangelism. She saw a friend that was very, very discouraged, was really going through a hard time. And she told us how she went and ministered to her. She saw that she was really struggling and was down, and she wrote her a note of encouragement, and she just went over and she passed her the note. And she said that this friend of hers, immediately when she read the note, was so touched, and literally her countenance changed, and it put a smile on her face. That is the power of blessing. Now that morning, we didn't talk to our daughter and say, okay, now remember, make sure you practice step number one. No. This is part of who she is, and it just naturally flows out of her lifestyle. The second story comes from our son, who was recently on a sports team. And at the end of the year, at the end of the season, the team all gathered together, and the coach said some affirming things about each of the kids on the team. And it was really touching to me to hear the coach affirming my son. And so I send him a text message just saying, thank you so much, your kind words. I so appreciate them, and it really encouraged our son as well. And the coach wrote back a long, long text message and just said, you need to know what a delight it was to have your son on our team. And he's such a leader, and he's always speaking positively and always encouraging the other kids on the team. Wow, I was touched. And that was so awesome to hear as a father. Again, that just naturally flowed from their lives. And so my encouragement to you parents, continue to walk out these principles, continue to model them. Your kids will grab a hold of them and they will take them, becomes part of their lives.
And now is the moment for impartation. This is the moment when virtue comes out of those that are ministering to you right now and they bless you. You may say, but Ed, I'm as good as dead. Great. You are poised for resurrection. I mean, when Jesus told the son of the widow of Nahum, arise, he was dead. So if your marriage, you think is dead, I'll tell you, God can raise that marriage from the dead. But let me give you now, before we do the impartation, an overview. I just gave you an overview from the Gospel of Luke. Look how important this issue of changing the climate is. Now I want you to look on the screen there. It's the same principle, but from the book of Ephesians. We open with Ephesians grid, bringing peace, reconciliation to ethnic groups, chapter 2. Denominations, chapter 3. Different ministries, chapter 4. Husband and wife, chapter 5. Parent and children, chapter 6. And masters and slaves, management and labor, and then we can bring the devil down. With that as the background, look how peace plays into this. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God. It doesn't say just put on the armor or part of it, full armor of God. And I discover that quite often, we leave out a part of the armor because we don't think that is offensive enough. We think, well, you know, I can live without that. I'm going to show you different. Number one, first you put the belt of truth. You get that one, okay, when the Lord confronts you with the truth. Then you put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's when you receive Jesus. And now his righteousness become your righteousness. But what do you put next? Attention, this is the key. You cover your feet with the sandals of the gospel of peace. That's the first thing you do after you appropriate Christ's righteousness. And now that you have that, you put the shield of faith, okay, that the following verse, and then the helmet of salvation. That is not your personal salvation. That happens when you put on the breastplate of righteousness. That you put it at the very top, in the highest part of your body, because that's when you begin to proclaim salvation to other people. And then you take the sword of the Spirit, and now you are ready for war. But the key is the sandals of the gospel of peace. Why? Because as I show in this book, Paul tells us, and very soon, the God of peace will crush Satan. Where? Under your feet. But they have to be clothed with the gospel of peace. So then, the whole creation, including your spouse and your children and your grandchildren, and yes, your dog, if you kick it once in a while, and your cat, if you lock him out, okay? They are eagerly awaiting the manifestation of the children of God. And that is in Romans 8:19. And Matthew 5:9 gives us a profile for the children of God, for what the world is waiting. It says, blessed be the peacemaker, for they shall be called children of God. So the key then is to be a peacemaker. So right now, wherever you are, let the Lord touch you right now. Let the Lord tell you, hey, greater is he which is me, says the Lord, who is in you, that whoever is messing up with your marriage, with your kids, you have authority, change your heart. Be at peace, speak peace, fellowship, declare the kingdom of God to your spouse, to your children, and make sure that your feet are clothed with the sandals of peace.
So I'd like to close this time with a quote from Jack Serra. Jack Serra says this, I am fully persuaded that if we are going to see a great move of God in our day, it will require that we understand transformation in the family. And that begins with transformation in our marriage. And from there, we will begin to love others and see God move in our homes, in our workplace, in our communities. So your effectiveness in the marketplace goes only as far as your marriage. God bless you.
And now, while the strongholds are coming down, would you join us to pull down the stronghold of financial lacking? Yes, we can do that by following biblical principles. Galatians 6:6, he or she who is being taught should share all good things with the one doing the teaching. And when you do that, and you are a giver, not just a receiver, you multiply everything. So on the TSOT homepage, that is right there in plain view, there is a button that says donate now. I want to invite you to do one of two things, or maybe both things. Number one, make a one-time donation. That will really encourage us and enable us to go farther, wider, and higher. And just do as God leads you. But number two, what about becoming a daily contributor? Following the principle that Paul outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where he says, I want people to set aside at the beginning of the week, something according to how God has prospered them, so that no offerings will be necessary to be taken. So I'm inviting you on behalf of the TSOT team, would you set aside a certain amount that every week or every month you send it, and it could be as simple as a dollar a day. A dollar a day doesn't buy much. But I'll tell you, a dollar a day is $30 a month, is $360 a year. That will go a long way if everybody in TSOT were to subscribe to that. As I said at the beginning, salvation is free, ministry costs something. That's why Paul quoted the Lord Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he says, those that preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. So I invite you now. Would you join us? Go donate now and encourage us. Yes, let's pull down that stronghold.
Well, I can tell from your post that you've been impacted by this amazing teaching and that the spiritual climate will change in your family and it will spill out into your sphere of influence because next week we're going to be talking about transformation in your sphere of influence. Well, we have some questions and we have Ed on the line. Ed, are you there?
I am delighted to be on the line. I feel the presence of the Lord. And I want to encourage everybody, live or through the archives, not only practice the principles, but would you please show your solidarity by donating to the School of Transformation.
Yes.
We are a little bit over the halfway point, and God is our provider, but He uses human channels. So can you take a moment now and donate generously so that the word can go farther and faster? So Chuck, do we have any questions?
Yes, we do. Jill, just got one.
Yes, we do. And we have a question here from Susie in England, and she's asking, not everyone has the time or is able to physically walk their streets and blocks to pray for the people and the homes and the neighborhood. Could praying from your own home not have the same impact?
Well, unless that person is a recluse that never leaves his or her house, I would say that the channels are already in place. Every time you leave your house, you go to the bus stop or you go to the store, just pray. You know, don't think of it as an activity. It is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So you go to the shop and you order a pound of potatoes because you are preparing a stew or whatever, bless the guy who is collecting your money. Bless the person that are next to you. It's a very good question because it allows us to underline it's not a chore, it's a lifestyle.
Yes.
Very good. Wow. Benji.
Yes, Ed, this is Benji. I've got a question. You'd mentioned in the very beginning that one of the keys is that we bless and not blast. And the question is, what if somebody says, you know, I really just honestly do not have a heart for my neighbors and especially some of my difficult coworkers. Where do I start? Where do I start with this process?
Well, I appreciate that question. Because that person is saying, I hit bottom. The beauty of hitting bottom, you can't go any lower than that. Can you get any worse? You have neighbors you don't care about. You have workers that are annoying. I mean, can't get any worse than that short of you jumping off a cliff, right? So this is the moment to test the authenticity, the power of the Word of God, that the blessing breaks a curse. You see, whether you give a blessing willingly or you give it grudgingly, it's the blessing, the one that changes. Mm. I mean, look at Jacob. He got the blessing through crookedness, but the blessing, he got it. So I would say to that person, can't get any worse short of you jumping off the cliff. So don't go there. But begin to bless, and as you do that, your mind will be renewed.
Great. Right on. Awesome. Excellent.
Ed, could you explain what happens in the spiritual realm when people sleep on their anger?
Oh, very, very simple. You invite the devil to sleep next to you. If you are married, he sleeps between you and your spouse. If you have kids, he has a room right there. anger is a serious, serious thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when we get angry and we sit on it and we refuse to extend grace, we are denying the effectiveness of the grace extended to us. This is a serious, serious matter.
Yeah.
And in mentoring, as well as in my book, That None Should Perish, we teach extensively. Which, by the way, Chuck, we should encourage everybody, get all of our 5 books, get all of our DVDs. I mean, write to Chuck, we can give you a good deal, and use those materials. Back to you, folks.
Well, I've got them all right here because, you know, this last week you read chapter 2 in Prayer Evangelism, and I'll tell you, it gets better. You're going to be reading chapter 3 next week, but it gets even better. So you really should buy the book. And we have basically selected key portions out of each of these books, but you have to study further to get the full picture. So let me encourage you to do that. If you don't have a complete set of the books, let me know, and I'll make sure you get one. Also, the DVDs that are totally inspirational. Ed, we have one more question, and that is, I have trouble with my kids, and I learned from last session that laying down the law is not working. I need to lead with grace as a parent. But where does discipline come in? How do I get my kids to do what they're supposed to do?
Good question.
Well, that's another excellent question. Grace does not ignore discipline. But grace brings the people that we want to discipline onto the right path. Okay? Why is it that so often people reject a wise counsel? And it's because they don't trust us. Mm. It's because they remember some moment when we were rude or too harsh to them. And that's why what I would suggest, and I don't know the case specifically, so I can only speak in general terms, but it would be good for that parent in a moment to have a chat with his or her child. Mm. And if he or she can remember an instant when he was too harsh and provoked them to anger, to say, you know, what you did was wrong, but the way I handled it was not right. Would you forgive me? Mm-hmm. And if you have a recurrence of anger, just be sincere and say, would you pray that I'd be a better daddy or a better mommy? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't be afraid. You show yourself vulnerable.
Mm.
Okay? People, the kids that we are trying to discipline need to know that beyond the discipline is an unconditional love.
Mm.
And part of that is never, never to humiliate them in front of strangers. The psyche of kids is very fragile. I mean, when they are in a public setting, you should stand by them. And then in private, talk to them. But don't humiliate them publicly.
Mm.
Don't tell their friends how bad they are. And by the way, I will ask that person, do you have a lifestyle of praising your child for the things that he or she is worth it, that praise? And you comb your hair real nice today. Oh, I appreciate how you made your bed. Don't look at the 5% or 95% they haven't done. Dwell on what they did. Build up. Use that to build the bridge. And the rest will happen.
That is wonderful counsel. And that's a picture of transformation. That's what happens when we lead with grace. Now, as we move to next week, I was reminded that, and I was reading actually in Prayer Evangelism chapter 3, where Ed said, you said this, for far too long we have left the control of the spiritual climate in our cities in the hands of the devil. This is evident when we look around at the mire of sin, hostility, anger, the criminal activity, and the crushing weight of hopelessness on our fellow citizens. You know, and I was reminded last week, President Obama went on news on a news cast, and he said that there's been one school shooting per month in our nation, and that's not happening in any other nation, and he's befuddled by it. But you know, the posts and the testimonies that we're getting, we're in small ways, in corners all over the world, people like Galen Gordon Oakley, where they have taken this seriously. Out of their family transformation, they've gone into their neighborhoods, they've adopted their city. Yeah. They've seen crime rates go down. They've seen suicide rates go down. Ed, I believe we're going to be averting the school shootings. We're going to be seeing transformation that's going to go throughout and reverse these kinds of things because of, and really, isn't it, it's because of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So we're excited about that. We're going to be moving next week into market or transformation in your sphere of influence. So be sure to go for it. First of all, though, take your seriously the application in the syllabus, because if in the application it talks about examining your heart and to see where you've been proclaiming the law and prophets rather than the gospel of the kingdom. First, starting your home in this impartation that Ed just shared. There's an impartation there to start in your home. And then look at the times through your week when you tend to blast others rather than... and let that tendency, let that anger be a signal to bless others. Mm-hmm. And then share your progress with us, because we are being blessed out of our socks with all of your testimonies. And Ed, I can just testify, as even in the post we're receiving, it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'd like to suggest that as a homework, if you are with a family member, or as soon as you are with one, look at that person in the eye and tell that person, whether it's your spouse, your children, your extended family, I bless you. In the name of Jesus, I bless you, and feel virtue come out of you. So that's homework number one. Homework number two, put the names of all your neighbors or co-workers or schoolmates of your children in a container, and when you have dinner or lunch together or before going to bed, just have everybody pick a name and speak a blessing over that person. And now you are making prayer evangelism a home-based lifestyle.
Yes.
Good.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Well, with that, receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Receive the impartation to see transformation and spiritual climate change in your family in preparation for all that's ahead. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, team. God bless you.
Thank you.